Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soita Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on Daf Yutes with the beginning of the new perek, the second perek of Soita Perek Hoyonoitel. The perek continues with laws concerning the mincha and the drinking of the sota in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah says, "Hoyanoitel es minchasa mitoch kfifa mitzris." The husband, that is, of course, bringing his wife to the Beis HaMikdash, he takes the meal offering from the reed basket. The kfifa mitzris is the reed basket that contained the barley flour that they brought from their home to the Beis HaMikdash, and now they take it, v'noisna l'soich klishares, and it's placed into a sanctified Beis HaMikdash service vessel. V'noisna al yada, and the mincha is placed on her arms. V'kohen miniach es yado mitachteha, and the kohen places his hands underneath. U'meinif, and meinif is an action in translated often means it's a waving action. It's a movement of the mincha in various directions, and after they move the mincha in various directions while it's supported on their arms, heinif vehegish komatz vehiktir. So there's the tenufa. Heinif is also referred to as the tenufa, the waving. The hegish is the carrying of the mincha to the corner of the mizbeach, the southwestern corner. Komatz, a handful of the mincha is taken from the bowl. The hiktir, and that handful is put in the fire on the mizbeach. Mashar nechal kohanim, and the balance is then consumed by the kohanim. A number of these points we've learned in recent dapim, in recent previous dapim laws regarding the mincha. So this should sound somewhat familiar. The Mishnah goes on with the points that sound familiar. That not only sound repetitive. The Gemara will deal with that particular problem. Hoyamashke v'acharkach makriv es minchasa. She would drink the sota water, and then the mincha would be offered. And the problem, the superficial problem, is that the Mishnah just mentioned before that the mincha was already burnt. Already the handful was already burnt. So what does makriv minchasa mean over here? It's already gone. Well, we'll wait for the Gemara to explain. You notice the markings, these double underlines and the squiggle lines in the middle with V'yachaka highlighted, is to give a sense of order. So the first opinion, and you can see we've labeled it number one, is she drinks the sota water, and then the water, then the mincha is offered. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh structural note, we've indicated this marking highlights Mashke and Makriv, and Ma Koidem, which comes first. Machlokes Tanakama of Rabbi Shimon. So we see here the Tanakama's idea of order is first she drinks the sota water, and then the mincha is offered. Rabbi Shimon Oimer Makriv es minchosa v'achar kach hoyo Mashke. First the mincha is offered, and then she drinks. Shinemar, the pasuk says, V'achar yashke es ho'isha samayim. This pasuk seems to be very order-oriented. V'achar gives you a sense of of priority, which is first, which is second, and says, and then she drinks, which indicates that prior to that, the mincha was offered. That would then substantiate Reb Shimon's opinion. Of course, we have to see sources for the Rabbanan as well. Im hishka v'achar kach hikriv es minchasa, if the order was reversed, k'sheira, Rabbi Shimon says it nevertheless is acceptable. Let us point out something that you'll see in the course of the sugya, when you study it with together with Rashi, that the effectiveness of the water, let us say she's guilty, and we've learned already that if she is guilty, so the water will kill her, the drinking will kill her, the effectiveness of the water is dependent on the offering of the mincha. So that even if you hold that she drinks first and then the mincha is offered, the water, in according to that approach, won't have immediate effect. It will have effect only once the mincha is offered. Before we go further, we take a look at the side. We have a no say a topic heading, which reads Tenufa Bebailim. The idea of the waving is to include the owner of the korban. The concept of tenufa you find in different korbanas, different things that are offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Where do you know that the owner, in this case the woman, is considered the owner of the korban, that she is she's supposed to participate in the waving? Now the Gemara. Omar lei Rabbi Lozar le Rabbi Yoshio de Dore. Rabbi Lozar is an Amora. His name is really Rabbi Lozar ben Pedos. And he is speaking to Rabbi Yoshio of his, Rabbi Lozar's generation, meaning Rabbi Lozar's contemporary, more or less, maybe even a little younger. The reason for referring to Rabbi Yoshio in this fashion, Rabbi Yoshio de Dore, is because there was a Tana who apparently had experienced some longevity, who lived into this generation. Rabbi Lozar ben Pedos was an early Amora, and so in order to distinguish between the elder Rabbi Yoshia and this younger one, the Gemara refers to him, Rabbi Yoshia de Dore, the same generation of as Rabbi Lozar. And Rabbi Lozar says to him, Lo tesev akaroch, don't sit down. Don't sit on your feet. But don't means don't sit down. Ad mifarshis lo loha milsa. Until you explain the following. If the Rabbi Yoshia being addressed was the elder Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Lozar wouldn't have spoken to him in this somewhat familiar or offhanded fashion. So what does Rabbi Lozar want from Rabbi Yoshia? To explain, minayin lemincha soita shituna tenufa, from where do you know that the sota meal offering requires waving? The Gemara asks, min olon, you're asking, from where do you know this? Veheinif ksiv, well, when you look at the psukim, it says, it shall be waved. No, the Gemara, the question is, bebailim min olon, how do you know that the owner, in this case the woman, has to do the waving? And it's going to be, of course, in conjunction with the Kohen, as you saw in the Mishnah. The answer is Asya Yad Yad Mishlomim. Through a word comparison, we come to this conclusion. Note, by the way, this is a long answer. Ksiv Hacha, it says by the Sota, the Lokacha Kohen Miyad Ho'isha. Uksiv Hasam, in the case of Shlomim, a Korban Shlomim, Yodov Tiviena. Now that Yodov Tiviano is a reference to the owner of the Shlomim brings the Shlomim. And you have in the Sota, it says, Lokacha Koyin Miyad. So you have the word Yad and Yodov. Ma Kan Koyin, just like by the Sota, it states Kohen. Af Lahalon Kohen. So too in the case of the Shlomim, one should understand that the Kohen participates in the waving action. Uma Lahalon Bailim. And just like over there by the Shlomim, the owner participates, Afkan Bailim, so too by the Sota meal offering, the owner participates. Okay, it's not so. How is it to be done after all is said and done. Meiniach yodoi tachas yedei habaylim umeiniv. The Kohen places his hands under the hands of the owner, and on top of all these hands is the sacrifice, umeiniv, and waving takes place. Heiniv higish komatz vehiktir v'hashar ne'ach halakehanim hoyam mashke v'yachakach makriv es minchosa. You can see this is all a quote from the Mishnah. And we ask, by looking at the Mishnah, look at how we've dashed underlined. Notice the right in between the lines of hiktir. The mincha was offered, and it said the balance is eaten by the kohanim, and it went on in the Mishnah to say she drinks, and then the mincha is offered. But ha akrifot was already offered. Hachi ka'omar. So here we have a rereading or re-understanding of the Mishnah. The Mishnah would read Seder Menachas Ketzad. What is the order of the offering of the Mincha? Heinif vehekish, komatz vehiktir, vashar nechal kohanim. Ubashko gufa, with regard to the sota drinking, which is part of the sota ceremony, it's not a mincha halacha, it's something unique to the sota. So regarding her drinking, Pligi Rav Shimon Rabbonin, they have a machlokas regarding the positioning of the drinking. The Rabbonin savri mashke v'akach makriv es minchosa. The Rabbonin hold she drinks before the mincha is actually offered, and Rav Shimon savar makriv es minchosa v'akach mashke. Rav Shimon holds the proper way, the choice way of doing things, is having the mincha offered, and then she drinks. Shinema v'achar yashke. As the Pasuk says, and afterwards she drinks. V'im hishka v'achar kach ikriv es minchosa k'shera. We saw that Rabbi Shimon, even though he held that the mincha is offered first and then the drinking, if the drinking takes place first and then the offering of the mincha, it's also acceptable. We turn to Omid Beis, Tonu Rabbanan. Before we read the Gemara, a word of, let's say, the approach we're going to take to this section. First of all, you notice there's a framed section. We have a Tanaic source, we have a Brisa, and the Brisa is not that clear as you read it. There will be numerous references to the drinking, where the Brisa quotes the word v'hishka, a word from the Pasuk. Before we actually go into the text, we're going to look together at the relevant psukim from Bamidbar, Perakei, psukim Chof Dalet through Chof Zayin. Note that we've included in the Maseches Sota, we've included the relevant psukim for those who have a Shas Ozer volume at the end of the Masechta. Otherwise, use a Chumash. And you'll notice in the course of these Psukim, which we'll read in order, Psukim Chof Dalet through Chof Zayin, note that the drinking is referred to three times. After we read the Psukim, we'll then read the Tanaic source. And after we read the Tanaic source with very little explanation, we're then going to go through, Amir Tzashem, if we still find it necessary, we'll go through the Rashi on this, too, so that that which appears a bit obscure will then appear meaningful. So first we turn to the Chumash, Bamidbar, Perek Hei, Pasuk, Chof Dalet. It says, V'hishka eso isha, Esmei hamorim hamorim, uvol bo hamayim horim lemorim. Without translating word for word, the Pasuk says, the woman is given the bitter waters, the sota waters, to drink, and they enter her. Pasuk chofei, v'lokach hakoyim yad lisho es minchas haknois, v'heinif es hamincho lefnei Hashem v'ikriv oiso el hamizbeach. And the Kohen takes the mincha from the woman, and... the mincha is then waved and offered. Pasuk Chavav. V'komatz ha-koyen min ha-mincha es askrasa. V'itir ha-mizbecha. The Kohen takes the handful and offers it on the altar. V'achar yashke es ho-isha es ha-moyim. And then she is given to drink. So here you see a second reference to drinking. We saw at the beginning of Pasuk Chav Dalet, V'hishka. Here it says, V'achar yashke. Pasuk Chav Zayin. V'hishka es ha-mayim. And if she in fact has been defiled after this drinking, then she will suffer her belly bloats and her leg falls, and the woman is a curse amongst the nation. Again, we emphasize by going through these psukim, you see Vahishka referred to three times. By the way, and just if the listening audience will allow me an editorial note, here's an example of the written law, the scriptures, being very, very difficult to understand. Without the belief and the recognition, and the, we'll say, the authenticity of the Torah Shebaal Peh as being given to the Jewish people at the same time the written law was given, as essentially a guide in how to understand it, the scriptures, I would say, would leave a lot to be desired in trying to appreciate what is being written. It's a great deal of repetition, and there's also the order is confounding, which is before which. Very difficult piece of work to understand in and of itself, especially when you're dealing with a section of the Torah that's not allegory, it's telling me procedure. Wouldn't you expect it to be something clear and spelled out? And therefore the oral tradition, the Torah Shebaal Peh, is an essential element without which you basically cannot understand a word of that which appears in the Chumash. So with that introduction in mind, we give the proper kovod, the proper honor due to the Torah Shebaal Peh in deciphering this section of the Torah. We read the Psukim, we now turn to the Gemara itself. We read the Tanaic source. In the marked Gemaras, you'll see that we've written Psukim in. The write-ins are taken from the Rashi. So, Tana Rabbanan, Vehishka, it mentions the drinking in Pasuk Chav Dalet, Ma Talmud Lomar. What's the purpose of mentioning it over there? Valo Kvar Nemar Vehishka. In Pasuk Chav Zayin, there's a reference to her drinking. So what's the significance of the drinking in Pasuk Chav Dalet? It is an allusion to a halal, a halacha. She'im nimcheka megillah. If you have a woman who's sota Torah portion that was written out on parchment and it was already erased over the water, v'oimeres, and she says, eini shoisa, I refuse to drink. Now, the mincha, the mechika, the erasure, was referred to in Pasuk Chof Gimel. And it was erased early. It was erased before the mincha was offered. It was erased prematurely. Once again, before the mincha was offered. And that's a wrong thing to do, because what should be is first the mincha is offered, and then the erasure, and then the drinking. And what they did, in this, we'll say, contingency case, what they did is they did the erasure, and then they did the offering. So they were makdim, they prematurely erased before the burn the offering of the meal offering. Let's say that happened. And she says, I'm not drinking. We don't allow her to follow her will, but rather she has to drink. Me'ar'arin oysa u'mashkin oysa ba'al korcha. Divrei Rebbe Akiva. We force her into drinking. And all of that is contained in Pasuk Chav Dalet when it says there, and she shall drink. So again, we're referring to a case of insisting and forcing her to drink in a case where the parsha was erased prematurely, even though the mincha had not yet been offered. That doesn't matter. We continue. Rabbi Shimon Oimer. It's pointed out in Rashi that Rabbi Shimon is not arguing on that which Rabbi Kiva just taught. V'achar yashke. This is a reference to Pasuk Chof Vav. Ma Tamud Lomar. What do I need that for? V'alo kvar ne'mar v'hishka. It says in Pasuk Chof Zayin that she drinks. Elo li'achar kol ha'maisim kulun ha'amurin l'mala. What Pasuk Chof Vav tells me is that the drinking takes place provided all the other procedures that were mentioned earlier have taken place. Ma'gid, this teaches us, Gimel Dvarim Ma'akvin Ba. There are three actions that are prerequisites for her drinking, without which she doesn't drink. Ad Shelo Korav HaKoimetz, the mincha will have to have been offered, and this of course is Shitas Reb Shimon that says first mincha and then drinking. V'yad Shelo Nimcha Megillah. The woman is not going to drink unless the Megillah, the portion containing the Sota in Psukim, was erased. V'yad Shelo Tekabel Oleo Shvua. And she's not going to drink unless she affirmed the oaths that were imposed upon her. The Gemara now goes over these last three points. Just like you see numbers in the Tanaic source, you see numbers that follow in the Gemara. Number one, Ad Shelo Korav HaKometz. The drinking is not going to take place unless the offering of the handful of the barley meal offering has already taken place. The kometz is the handful. Reb Shimon Litame, the Omar Makriv Es Minchoso V'Yachakach Mashke. This is a reflection of Reb Shimon's point. Litame means he is consistent here with what he says in general, that the mincha is offered first and then the drinking, so that the mincha offering is a prerequisite for her drinking. Number two, Ad Shelo Nimcha Ko Megillah. Does this really need to be taught that she doesn't drink unless the Megillah was erased? Well, my mashkila, it's obvious. It's in other words, you're telling me in point number two is something that's really unnecessary. It's obvious. What else would she be drinking? She's not drinking water from a water cooler. She's drinking water in which the parsha has been erased. Amar Ravashi, lo nitzrucha l'rishumo nikur. What point number two is telling me is that if the erasure took place, but the writing was still visible on the original parchment, it wasn't fully erased, she does not drink until that is taken care of, until that's it's re-erased. In other words, you have to erase it again to make sure there's no nothing left on the parchment itself. Point three, Ad Shelo Tekabeleo Shvua, until she doesn't drink unless she affirmed the oath. These are all points, by the way, that we've spoken about in recent shiurim. So if you're a first-time listener and you're not familiar with the oath that we're referring to, or the parchment and the erasure, of course, by all means, you will have had to have learned the previous dapim in order to appreciate this. So the acceptance or the affirmation of the Shavua, the Gemara now infers, Mishtahu Dolo Shasya. It seems that we're saying she doesn't drink unless she affirms the Shvua. So the drinking requires the Shvua to precede it. However, ha michtav kasvila, but are you saying that it will be, the Parsha will be written out before the Shvua? In other words, the way we're presenting things in point 3 gives you the impression that the Parsha was written out before the Shvua. The Shvua is the oath. So it's all prepared, and then the oath is imposed on the woman, and then she drinks. But that very point, or that we'll say that inference, is not accurate. How can you say that the Parsha could be written before the oath? V'omar Rava Megillah Soito Shekosva Koidem Shetekablo Shvua Lo Osva Lo Klum. The Sota section, the Sota portion that's written before she accepts upon herself the oath, it's worthless. The Gemara says, you've got a very strong point, and therefore, Kedi Nasva. Rashi, toward the end of the narrow lines, last narrow line, Kedi Nasva Shalolit Sorech, this point 3 is stated, but it's really unnecessary. The point 3 suggested that that once she'll drink when she accepts the Shavua, leaving the impression that the Parsha had been written beforehand. That's not true. Doha afilu michtiv lo kasvinat. Not only does the Shavua have to precede the drinking, but the Shavua itself must precede the writing. It's not accurate to suggest that the Shvua comes immediately before the drinking. The Shvua is even earlier than the writing. The Gemara now goes on with the question of B'mai Komifliki. And here, the question is directed at the Machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. Tanakama said, first drinking and then Mincha. Rabbi Shimon said, first mincha and then drinking. Before we go further in the Gemara, though, let us go over Rashi. And we said Rashi spells out that which we've already explained, but it doesn't hurt, and it will certainly benefit by going over the Rashi. We're starting Rashi from the top. He deals first with the textual issues. Hochi garsino tonu rabbonu v'hishka matam lomar v'lo kvar nemar v'hishka Shem Nimchaka Vuchule. All of this is in the text that we have. Velogar Sinon Basa Beresha Vakama Besefa Shein Zeloshin Braisa Pirush Meshubishu Vita Bivalog Farnemar. Again, Rashi's dealing with alternative texts that he says are erroneous, and it's because they erred in what the text says, what the Braisa says, the expression Valok Varnemar. We saw that on the top line. And that gives you the impression that something earlier was stated, Demashma Shezeh Ne'emar Mitchila. And really, that's not the case. V'hochi Pirush. Now, this is where we want to really focus. Seder Mikros Kahu. The order of the Psukim is as follows. V'kosavu Mocha, that you find in Posuch of Gimel. That means there's the writing, the erasure, the Hishka, Posuch of Dala, a drinking. There's a waving of the mincha, and then v'ikriv is the bringing of the mincha to the corner of the mizbeach. The komatz v'hiktir, that's in pasuch chavav. Why does Rashi say dahainu hagosha? Because the word v'hikriv could be misunderstood. V'hikriv, when a person says he's makriv a korban, when you use that expression, that means it's offered, it's put on the fire, and it's completely taken care of. Not so over here, because in pasuch chavav you see the actual burning of the handful. So v'hikriv, Rashi has to tell you, is simply the carrying of the korban to the corner of the mizbeach, that is the meal offering. And in posuch avav, the komatz v'hiktir, the handful is taken and it's put on the fire. V'achar yashkeh esu isho es hamayim. That's also in Pasuk Chavav. Notice the double underlining that we've done. This is to highlight the references to drinking. V'hodar suksiv hashko shlishis, a third reference to drinking, in Pasuk Chav Zayin, v'hishko es hamayim voiso im nitma'a. V'ko'omar Rebbe Akiva, v'hishko esu isho dichtiv, the drinking that's written before Haktoras HaMincha, before the offering. So you have drinking and then offering. Ma Talmud Lomar. What is the significance of speaking about a drinking that's before the offering of the Mincha? Falo Kvar Nemar Achar Haktoras HaMincha V'Hishko Es HaMayim. Vahu Davkahu. How can you speak about the drinking before the mincha when, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, the mincha is first and then the drinking? And that's what he sees in the psukim chof vav and then chof zayin. Chof vav refers to the haktorah, and then in Chof Zayin, a drinking. And that is dafka, means that's meduyak, that is precise. V'ein ho rishon dafka, the rishon poschov dalid, which makes reference to a drinking before the mincha, is not a presentation of, let's say, precision order. It's not there for order purposes. D'midichtiv achar yashkes isha, from the fact in Pasuk Chavav it says, and afterwards she shall drink. Shma mino hashko achar haktorah. It says, and after the mincha she drinks. So you see the drinking is after the haktorah. He. Uma tamad lomar vishko seisha achar hamechika. What's the purpose of having a reference to drinking in Pasuk Chav Daled following the erasure in Pasuk Chav Gimel? And that drinking seems to be before the mincha, and that's not true. What's it there for? L'lam decha, it teaches me, sh'im nimcha l'kala megillah, if the mincha was erased, v'omra eini shoysa, v'lo hoydis loymer tameyani, she says, I'm not drinking. And she's not confessing, I am guilty. She's simply, I don't want to drink. Ma'aron oysa, we klomar. What does ma'arin mean? Poischin pio shalobatei vasa. We forcibly open her mouth. V'shoychin samayim l'soich groina, and we pour the water into her throat. Aviafinu nimchaka megillah kodem haktorah. Even if the erasure took place before the mincha was offered, the shalokadin asu akayanim. That is a wrong thing to do. Let's skip the bracketed section that you see here in the Rashi. Afilu hachi. Even so, even though the erasure was done prematurely before the mincha was offered, afilu hachi hayu v'nimchaka, since it was erased, v'afilu shelo kadin, even if done improperly, ein shomin lo lomar eini shoysa. We don't listen to her in saying, I don't want to drink. Elo yitishta oy toida. Either she drinks or toda, or tivada, she confesses her guilt. Ulekachne mar v'hishko. That's why Chav Daled in Pasuk Chav Daled says v'hishko achar hamechika, right after the erasure mentioned in Pasuk Gimel. Lo shetishte miyad achar hamechika. We're not saying that it means she drinks immediately after the erasure. Elo hokomashmalon shamechika go remes lo lishos. The point, this juxtaposition of drinking with the erasure tells us the erasure forces her to drink under the circumstances that we already said. Namely, if she's not confessing her guilt, then, and she's trying to maintain her claim, she's simply insisting, I don't want to drink. The fact that the erasure took place does not enable her to have her way. We skipped a couple lines in the Rashi in order to keep a very smooth flow in the reading. Let's go back over those skip lines. The reference was made at that point, right before the brackets, Rashi said that even if the mechika, the erasure, took place before the offering of the mincha, which is shalokadin also akayanim, the kevon de'ena shoysa ad la'achar aktorah, since Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion, like Rabbi Shimon, that first mincha, first burning of korban mincha, and then drinking, they shouldn't have erased so early. They shouldn't have erased before the mincha. The chol mash shows la'achir es hamechika, any opportunity to delay the erasure, the erasure, don't forget, involves erasing God's name. That's what the Torah demands, but it's a very, very, I'll say, emotionally difficult thing to do. Me'achrin shema tivadeh. We prefer to delay the erasure because at any point she might confess, I am guilty, and everything would stop there. We can spare ourselves of erasing God's name. So as we went through this Rashi, you noticed how so much attention was paid to all the different psukim referred to, with the bottom line being that the presence of a drinking as late as Pasuk Chof Zayin indicates that the drinking is going to be after the mincha was already done, and that is that point is, let's say, bolstered by the fact that in Pasuk Chof Vav, it said after the mincha, it says v'achar yashke, afterwards she drinks, namely after the mincha. So there you see order is quite clear. What's the early reference to drinking in Pasuk Chof Dalet? So as we explained, it's referring to a situation where the woman is saying, I don't want to drink, and the parsha has already been erased. It's too late. It's a point of no return. She cannot have her way. Let's continue with the Rashi. Here Rashi turns his attention to Rabbi Shimon in the Tanaic source. What was he saying? Rabbi Shimon Omer. Let's just repeat ourselves. It's a very important point as we for later in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva are not arguing regarding the order of mincha drinking. First mincha offering, then drinking. Rabbi Shimon Omer, we're reading in the Rashi where we left off. Rabbi Shimon Omer, V'achar Yashke, that was in Pasuk Chavov, Ma Talmud Lomar. Why do you have to say that? The fact that a woman drinks is referred to already in Pasuk Chof Dalet. Lo poligad Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shimon is not coming to argue with Rabbi Kiva. Elamor dorish hai kro, umor dorish hai kro. Rather, Rabbi Kiva, he offered his chidush on Pasuk Chof Dalet, and Rabbi Shimon will offer his drosha on Pasuk Chavav. The Hachi Omar Lekamon Mishmaitin. The Travai Svirulei, both, this will be stated later in our sukya, that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon hold Makriv Minchosav Akach Mashke. They are not arguing about that. The point in the Gemara that we're going to pick up with the Mirz Hashem is going to ask regarding this issue where the Chachomim in the Mishnah do disagree with Reb Shimon regarding the order. Where the Chachomim hold first drinking and then mincha, what are the sources for the Rabbonan? But as far as Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva, they're in agreement regarding the order. First mincha, then drinking. So, what does Rabbi Shimon see in Pasuk Chavov, where it says, V'achar Yashke? Valo kvar nemar pasuk shlishi. We're continuing in the Rashi. There's a third pasuk chav zayin v'hishka es hamayim. We achar haktora. It says that she drinks the water, and that's after the mincha was offered. Ma tamad lomer v'achar yashke. So what do I need pasuk chav vov for? The answer to that is, we say afterwards she drinks. The afterwards is the word of emphasis. After all the things that were mentioned prior. And we went through those points already in the Gemara. Now we go back to our Gemara. We're picking up with the expression, I hope everyone sees where we are in the Gemara. It's about a third of the way down, two-fifths of the way down from the top. The last word in line is komifligi. Notice, where we're picking up now, b'mai komifligi, we have a semicolon before that, and that's put in quite deliberately. Because if you didn't have that marking, and you just read b'mai komifligi, you might very well think that it's a throwback to what we stated immediately before, namely Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. Well, we already pointed out Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon are not arguing. So why the question of b'mai komifligi? The answer is it's not referring to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. It's referring rather to the Tanakama of the Mishnah and Rabbi Shimon. They had an argument. The Tanakama of the Mishnah held first drinking, then mincha. Rabbi Shimon holds first mincha, then drinking. So what's the basis of their machlokas? Before we go further, because by just your eye skimming ahead, you notice different markings. You have diamonds, double underlines, triangles. What do all these things represent? So on the side of the Gemara, we have our Nosei Mivneheding. The diamond highlights Machlokes, Tanoim. Notice in the diamond you have the Rabbonin and Rabbi Shimon are highlighted. Machlokes, Tanoim, Mashkev, Makrivo, Ahefech is the order drinking and then offering the mincha, or offering mincha and then drinking. The triangle highlights the term legufo. Machloikas tanoim amuskar liel. Which eisa posuk yesh lidrosh legufo haseder? Which posuk is the posuk that will indicate the actual order for us? Once we establish which posuk is the defining posuk for order, so the other posuk, the other psukim, they are the ones that need to be explained. And the double underline is there to highlight the psukim. Hadgoshas apsukim. Now the Gemara. V'mai komifligi. Again, what are they arguing about? The Tanakama and Reb Shimon of the Mishnah. And since order for many of us is at times confusing, we've included on the side, very briefly, on the side of our Gemara, notice in the margin, Tanakama holds Mashke v'achav makriv, first drinking, then offering, of meal offering, and then Reb Shimon, makriv v'achakach mashke. So you can always keep one finger on that to keep things straight. The Gemara continues. Tlosa kroi ksivi. Note, by the way, we have a long answer marking. All of this section of Gemara is to give us the basis of that Tanaic controversy. So three psukim. Fishko kama, posuchov dalid. Viachar yashke, posuchov vov. Vihishko basra, posuchov zayin. If anyone remembers the opening of the Rashi that we read at the top, on the second line from the top, he mentioned v'lo garsina basra b'resh v'kama b'seifa, and Rashi says that's not the lashon of a b'risa. That is quite true. We didn't read that in the b'risa, but here you do see the words kama and basra used. This is not a Tanaic section. This is the Gemara itself, and it's therefore appropriate to see these words. So we made reference to the three words of drinking. Rabbonon Savri. The Rabbonon who hold, what do they hold? They hold first drinking and then offering of mincha. Well, they hold like this. Vehishka kama legufo. And notice the word legufo is in a triangle. We want to highlight the point of controversy. The Rabbonon hold that Posuchov Dalid, which is the, we'll say, the earliest reference to drinking, i.e. before mincha, that is for itself, for the purpose of teaching order. Shemashke v'achakach makriv es minchosa. It's here to teach me that first drinking and then offering of mincha, which is referred to in the subsequent psukim. Posuchavo v'achar yashke, that is miboya lei the sherishumo nicker. It's needed for that halacha. Notice you have an arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, and this was referred to earlier. That the drinking takes place only if the erasure has been fully successful, not if something is still left. Rishumo means the image of the original writing is still visible. That cannot be. That has to be taken care of. It has to be erased also. And the Hishka Basra, Sheim Nimchaka Megillah V'Yomeres Eini Shoisa, this also a halacha we saw before, that Pasuk of Zion tells me that she must drink. Namely, if you have a situation where the Megillah was erased, the ink was scratched off, which is essentially the way the erasure is done, and she says, I don't want to drink. She has to drink. Ma'arunoiso mashko so ba'al korcho. We force her to drink even against her will. Rabbi Shimon Sovar, V'achar yashke legufo. This pasuk is for Rabbi Shimon, the indicator of order. That, and what does it say? And afterwards she drinks, which indicates shemakrives minchosa v'achar kach mashke. First the mincha is offered, and then the drinking. Vehishka kamo, the drinking in Pasuk Chof Dalet. Shem hishka v'achakach hikriv es minchosa kshera. If things were done out of order, this is Reb Shim, we saw this in the Mishnah, if it's done out of order, it's still okay. In other words, if the drinking took place before the mincha, as you can see in Pasuk Chof Dalet, you have drinking before references made to the offering of the mincha. So if that took place, it's also okay. That's Rav Shimon, consistent with what he said in the Mishnah. Vehishka Basra, this is the same as the Rabbonan. From Pasuk of Zion, they derive Shim Nimchaka Megillah V'yomra Eini Shoisa Ma'arunoisa Mashinoisa Baal Korcha. Now, the Rabbonan response to Rav Shimon's approach. According to Reb Shimon, Pasuk Chof Dalet taught me a contingency situation. According to Reb Shimon, Pasuk Chof Dalet told me something that isn't a first choice. And to say that the opening Pasuk regarding drinkings is telling me something that's not lechatchila, that's something that's bidieved, meaning post facto, that the Rabbanan see is unfit as far as the scripture is concerned. Why would you open up a section dealing with something that's not the first choice? When you want to tell us a story, you want to tell us halachas, you start with the right way to do things, and then you can tell us later on about contingency cases. So that's the Rabbanan's objection to Reb Shimon's use of Pasuk Chof Dalet. Reb Shimon used it for a contingency, and the Rabbanan used Pasuk Chof Dalet to tell me legufo. And that's what the Gemara means here for Rabbanan. B'dieved lo Pasach Kro. As far as the Rabbanan are concerned, Pasach Kro, as a reference to the opening Pasuk, Pasuk Chof Dalet wouldn't be there to tell me something that's post facto, that's only if you happen to do it, and it's not the best way. And therefore the Rabbanan said regarding Pasuk Chof Dalet, that being that it's the opening pasuk and it speaks there about drinking even before the mincha, they come to the conclusion that drinking is done first and then the mincha is offered. And now we go back to Rabbi Akiva. Here we have a double star to the side of the Gemara text, the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. Align this with what you see above, and the third line from the top. I hope everyone has a marked Gemara in front of them, and if you need to access a marked Gemara, you can do so by contacting gmarkings@gmail.com. Way above, Rabbi Kiva made the point that if the Megillah was erased, even if done prematurely, she cannot refuse to drink. She cannot say Eini Shoisa and expect us to heed her request. The Gemara asks, V'sover Rabbi Kiva Mashken Oiso Baal Kocha. Does Rabbi Kiva really hold from that approach that a woman can be made to drink forcibly. We have a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Kiva appears halfway into the source. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kalbus Shel Barzel Matim L'Sech Piyot. Kalbus is a vessel, a utensil. Rashi describes it in more precise terms. Rashi in the wide lines, more than halfway down the wide lines, the Shnei Shinayim Yesh Lo V'Noisein L'Sech Piyot Zokuf. Seems to be a double pronged entity that's placed upright in her mouth. There's, if you put this into a person's mouth, it'll keep the mouth open forcibly. So Rabbi Yehuda says, "Kalbus shel barzel, barzel being iron, and iron kalbus, that the double pronged entity, matilin l'sech pi, we put in her mouth. Shim nimchiko megila." In a situation where the Megillah was erased, and she wants, and she claims, or she says, "I'm not going to drink," well, we then force her, and we use this kalbus in order to force her mouth to remain open. Omar Rabbi Akiva, isn't our whole purpose here to check her out, to establish her guilt or innocence? Follow Beduka of Yomedes. By her saying, "I'm not drinking," she's being modish. She's confessing that she's guilty. She doesn't want to drink because she knows if she drinks, she's going to die. So she confesses, "Yes, I had illicit relations with another man." Elo Anshelo Korav HaKomets Yecholo Lavzer Ba. Before the Komets, the Mincha is offered, she can back out. She can say, "I am not drinking." Mishikorav HaKomets Eino Yecholo Lachzer Ba. Once the mincha is offered, she cannot back out. She cannot say, "I'm not drinking." Rashi, Yecholo Lachzer Ba. I hope you see we're on the line after the Kalbus line. She can Yecholo Lachzer Ba Velomar and say, "Eini Shoisa." I'm not drinking. V'ein Oinsen Oisa. And we don't force her. By her saying, "I don't want to drink," she's confessing that she's guilty. And that's our whole goal over here, to come to some to a conclusive statement on her part, that namely, that I am guilty. Of course, if she's refusing to say that, and the hope is, of course, that she's innocent and that the water won't have any effect on her. But if she's saying, "I'm not drinking," well, if you're innocent, why wouldn't you drink? Why are you saying, "I don't want to drink"? That's tantamount to saying, "I'm guilty." Oh, I'm guilty, so there's no need for her to drink. Because when a woman says, "I am guilty," the whole process stops. Let's read the next Rashi also. Mishikorav HaKomets. We saw in this Tanaic source, Rabbi Kiva concluded by saying that once the Komets is offered, L'kame Porech, later in the Gemara, the question will arise, he gufo kashya. This presentation of Rabbi Kiva has an inherent contradiction to it, or an inherent difficulty. Amai eino yecholo lachzor. Why do you say that once the mincha is offered, she cannot back out? She can't. That would mean she has to drink. Falo baduka v'medesi. Doesn't the same logic apply, that by her saying, "I don't want to drink," she's confessing her guilt? Now, let's go back to the Gemara. Second wide line, after the Tanaic source. First of all, we raise the question. How can Rabbi Kiva, third line from the top of this Omid, be portrayed or presented as saying forced drinking? When you read this source, you see that a woman who says, "Eini Shoisa," there's no need to force her to drink. So this is the question that the Gemara is asking, we'll say, from this source on Rabbi Kiva above. Uletameh tikshi lachi gufah. According to you that see this source as a difficulty for what was said above, well, isn't this source inherently gufah? It itself is difficult. Mishikara v'koimetz eino yicholo lachzer bo. The last statement here was that once the koimetz is offered, Rabbi Akiva says she can't back out. What does that mean, she can't back out? She can't say, eini shoisa, I don't want to drink. Why not? V'halo b'duka v'medes. When she says, I don't want to drink, that is the ultimate checking. That's the ultimate revelation of her guilt. Lo kashya. The source is not inherently difficult. In fact, this whole issue of her eini shoisa comment, I don't want to drink, do we force her or not? It depends. Ha de kahadra machmas resisa, the ha de kahadra ba machmas briusa, the hachi komar. Before we go on in the Gemara, in order to define these terms, resisa, trembling, briusa, with confidence, let's see what Rashi says. De kahadra machmas briusa. Ha dekotani beduka v'oimedes. The source that this that we saw in the last narrow line of the Gemara v'ala beduka v'oimedes, which means that when she says I don't want to drink, she's essentially confessing. Dekahodra b'machmas b'yusa, who she is backing out with an air of confidence. Briusa, from the word bori, means health. Means an air of confidence. She'eno rosessa. She's not trembling. The komraini shosa, I'm not drinking. Vadai tameohi. She's definitely guilty. Ulekach eino rosessas. She's therefore not trembling. The somcha meikora. The omra, she's already planned this out from the outset. Somehow means she's reliant from the outset, the omra, and she calculates. Ki motino lemishti, when the time for drinking comes, lo shasino, I am not going to drink. Velo shno korav koimetz, velo shno lo korav. Regardless of whether the mincha was offered or not, lo shasya, I'm not drinking. Kin meforesh v'ozil. As is explained, as we go on in our explanation, kol machmas briusa, klal lo shasya v'afilu kiriv v'koimetz. The woman who is saying eini shoisa with an air of confidence, we figure that she's got this all planned out from the beginning. She's and she's steaming. You don't see a nervous lady over here. And the whole thing is part of a scheme that she knows she's guilty, and she knows the water's going to have this deathful effect on her, and therefore she's saying eini shoisa. That is a testimony of guilt. So that if you see, I know that we're sounding a little repetitious here, but if you see a woman who, with an air of confidence, is saying, I'm not drinking, that's what Rabbi Kiva was saying when he said, she's beduka v'emetis. And certainly there's no need to force her to drink. V'ha de'mafliq bein korev l'lo korev. The seeming distinction that was made between the mincha having been offered or not, the kahodra machmas resisa. That's referring to a woman who is hodra. She's backing out. She's saying, I don't want to drink, but she's trembling. She is not a scheming woman. She didn't have this planned out from the beginning. Shanu royonoi sa roisesis. We see she's shaking. De iko lemeimar. There's room to think. De eno ma menes. Shaliv de kua mayim vafilu hitora. She's got this tremendous, we'll say, belief in the strength of the water, so much so that it's going to kill even if she's innocent. She would really like to rely on her innocence and drink, but she's afraid. She's afraid because she thinks that the water isn't so discriminatory between the innocent and the guilty. Ulafikach he roiseses. she's trembling. Shemagas lishtois chayzeres. When the time comes to drink, she wants to back out. Hilchach. Therefore, we say as follows: Ad shelo korov. If the mincha has not been offered yet, and she says eini shoisa, so she can back out. And if the mincha was already offered, she has to drink. Ubraisa kamaisid leav the ketanim aron osah. The braisa three lines from the top said we force her to drink. Bemachmas resisa kamar. She was trembling, and it appears that according to this explanation, she was trembling, and the mincha was already offered. Now let's read that in the Gemara. V'hochi ka'omar, there's no contradiction in Rabbi Akiva. Kol machmas b'yusa, a woman who is saying eini shoisa with an air of confidence, klal lo shasya, she does not drink. And it's regarding that Rabbi Akiva made his comment, she's beduka v'yomedes. Machmas resisa, if she is backing out and you see she's trembling, before, if this statement of hers, I don't want to drink, is before the mincha was offered. If you recall earlier in our shir, we said that we tried to delay the erasing of the Megillah as much as possible. And of course, according to Rabbi Kiva, the order of things is first the mincha and then the drinking. So that the Megillah is not going to be erased if you do things properly. It's not going to be erased until the mincha is already offered. So if you're at a point in time before the mincha has been offered, the erasure certainly hasn't taken place yet. So you have the woman saying, I don't want to drink. The mincha has not yet been offered. So we stop. We'll allow her way. Inami imchuk Megillah, even if, however, the Megillah was erased, the Shaloka din ovid karem de machki, where the karem did something wrong, they erased it before the offering of the komets. Nevertheless, motzi hadra ba, since we're at a time before the mincha was offered, she can back out. She can stand her ground of eini shoisa. Mishikorav haKomets, once the Komets was offered and the Megillah was erased, the Bedin Ovid Kohen Demachki, once the offering of the meal offering took place, it's correct now for the mincha for the Megillah to be erased. The Kohen functioned properly. Lo Motzi Hadraba, she can't back out. She then, and that's what Rabbi Kiva above was saying, we force her to drink. We continue at the top of Daf Chof. Kashya de Rabbi Akiva ad Rabbi Akiva. We highlight with this double underline two points. Hosam Omar Mechika Ma'akva. There he had said that the erasure is a binding factor in with regard to forcing her. Namely, if the mechika was done, even if the komets was not offered, once the mechika is done, she has to drink. V'hocha Omar Koimetz Ma'akev. And here we're saying that the Koimetz is the Ma'akev, is the binding factor. Whereas before we said that if the erasure is done, even if it's done before the offering of the Koimetz, that's it, she can't back out, we'll force her to drink. And here we're saying no, the offering of the komets is ma'akev, which leads us to think that even if the erasure had taken place and the komets has not been offered, she wouldn't be forced to drink. Let's take a look at Rashi at the top. Kashya de Rekiva Rekiva, Hosimar Mechika Makfa Es Ha'ines. That the Mechika is the binding factor for Ones. Ones means the forced drinking. The Cholzman Shelo Nimchika, as long as it hasn't, the Parsha hasn't been erased, Imam Reini Shaisa, if she says, I don't want to drink, Yecholo Lachzer Bo, she can back out. We don't force her to drink. If the Megillah is erased, we force her to drink. Even if the handful of the barley meal offering was not yet offered. The drinking that you find in Pasuk Chav Dalet, the Kodem HaKtorah, it's before the Mincha is offered, L'Hachi Darshinon. We explained it for that purpose, that namely the juxtaposition of Mechika, which was in Pasuk Chav Gimel, with the drinking, and Pasuk Chav Dalet tells me that if the Mechika is done, then she has to drink. No comments on the scene yet. Doesn't matter. Once the Mechika is done, she has to drink. The Hachakomar, Koimetz Ma'akev Asoines, the Chokam de Lokorav Koimetz, as long as the handful was not offered, I Omrei Nishoisa Lo Ansinon Lo Lashkosa, we wouldn't force her to drink. So how do you resolve these two statements of Rabbi Kiva? The Gemara continues and says, Trei Tanoi Valiba de Rabbi Kiva. It's what we're seeing here is simply two different later Tanaic opinions as to what Rabbi Kiva actually holds. Ibaya Laho. Omra Eini Shaisa Machamas Briusa. A woman says, I don't want to drink, and she says it with confidence. The Chazra of Yomra, Shoisani. And then she says, I want to drink, Mahu. What do we say? Kevan di Yomreini Shoisa. Do we say that once she says, I don't want to drink, Tameoani Komra, she's in effect saying, I am guilty. The Kevan di Achsik Nafshe Betuma, and once she establishes her status as being guilty, Tuma means defilement, being a guilty individual, Lo, Matsya, Chazra Ba. She can't back out. She can't change. She can't change her status. Once she's established she's Tamea, that's it. She can't now say, I want to drink. Oy Dilma, Kevan Yomra Shoisani, or do we say that since she is saying, I want to drink? Galya Daita, this reveals to us the Machmas Beatusa U the Umra, that her original statement of I don't want to drink was really out of, we'll call it, internal fear. The external air of confidence that she seemed to exude was in fact misleading. Teku. So this remains unresolved. Omar Avua de Shmuel Tzorach Shitein Mor Lesoch Hamayim. The water that the Sota is going to drink has to have added to it more. More means something bitter. My time off. Why do you have to add something bitter to the water? Diomar Krah, the Pasuk says, Mei Hamorim, the waters of bitterness, which indicates Shemorim Kvar. They were bitter already. And Rashi points out that this is here to exclude a possible alternative explanation one might have given to Mei Amorim, the waters of bitterness, because of the curse that these waters represent to the guilty woman. So here the Gemara is saying, no, it's not called the waters of bitterness because of the curse that these waters represent, but rather it's because something bitter is added to it, making the water bitter. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, in order to access Mark Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.